Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, everybody, this is exciting. I'm talking with my good friend, Simon McIntyre, who's the regional overseer for America, one of our regional directors in the C3 movement. Great to have you with us, Simon.
Thanks, Phil. It's a delight to be on your podcast.
And I'm so looking forward to talking about Joshua, The Making of a Leader, a book that you've just written. And your subtitle is What He Learned When No One Was Looking and What He Did When Everyone Was.
Yeah, so my assumption or my premise, Phil, is that most of Joshua's leadership development was when no one was looking. And then we look at three elements of what that was.
That's probably the truth for most every leader, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That it's what happens when you're that seed in the soil, in the dark, unseen, sometimes even grubby place. But out of that shoots this call of God that you've got on your life.
Yes, and that was, I think, that picture from the Old Testament in both the Israelites and in Jesus himself. They both went through a wilderness and they both inherited something. And so it's in the wilderness that you get found out.
You know, I love Joshua, you know, yeah. And whatever God did to him, it worked because he took the Israelites in when Moses actually didn't, although it was promised to Moses from the beginning. But Joshua learnt faith somewhere along the line there. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so one of the big lessons to me is the lesson of faith and fear. And somehow all of these lessons end up sort of relating to the Word of God somehow. And in this first one, I look in this book at the fact that God spoke to them. He wasn't sending them as spies to the land so they could see whether it could be inherited. He was sending them as spies in the land to see what they were inheriting. So he went in knowing they could. The other 10 were trepidatious, to say the least. So that was the first big lesson. He had the lesson of faith, and it cost him a lot because it was 40 years later before that fruition finally came and the others had all died out.
That's a big element of faith, though, isn't it? Keeping a positive attitude when others have manipulated your time, your future, and yet without getting cranky, without getting critical, you still got to say, well, one day I'll actually take this in. I'll go into the land.
That's right, because it was God's word. It wasn't their idea of a sort of a Sunday jaunt or a, you know, let's get through this wilderness to get to the big grapes.
So another area you discuss in the book is the voice of God to Joshua, discerning that voice, which is something a leader in the kingdom of God really has got to get that nailed. And then understanding the presence of God. So it's like God speaks to us in his presence, and Joshua learned that, right?
Yeah, and you've said it, you've nailed it, because in the tent of meeting, which was the tabernacle where God's presence locally resided, when Moses would leave it, and Joshua would linger, he would stay. And so my premise there is that Joshua learnt both the voice and the premise. And there is some Jewish tradition around the idea that it wasn't just sort of like a kind of a humming glow or aura, but it was actually God's voice he was listening to. In fact, you just mentioned it. You can't separate the two. Where God is, God speaks, because that's God's directive nature,
yeah,
to speak.
Well, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you cannot separate presence from voice, and definitely that's very clear to Joshua. He, you know, most of Joshua's life, though, in those developmental years, was actually serving another person, right?
Yes, and that's the third big lesson that I see. There may be others that others see a little bit more prescient than me, but I saw those three. The servant one is a massive one because he served Moses for 40 years. That's a long time to serve anybody. But he was not ready until he had done that. And everything that Moses was and did somehow became what Joshua ended up being and doing. And so it's almost like Caleb was the hero. You know, that's always struck me. Mm-hmm. Caleb was the hero.
Right.
Because he's mentioned more when it comes to faith.
Totally.
But Joshua stuck around Moses, worked with him, listened to him, and was his shadow for 40 years.
It's such an indispensable part of leadership development, and you can't shortcut yourself. You can't leapfrog the serving years. I mean, David, he didn't go down to that war field expecting to fight a giant. He only went down there because his father told him to take some food to his brothers. So he was serving, and as he served, destiny opened up to him.
Yes.
Rebecca's the same with watering the camels of Eliezer, Abraham's servant. So the serving mode, actually, even though it's a big part of our developmental stage, it never actually leaves us.
No.
We always are going to be serving another person and God.
Totally. And it's nowhere better encapsulated than in the what we call the kenosis of Christ, where he descended before he ascended. So he became as a servant. And that word's used by Paul. He became a servant. Or actually what's even more... I'm just trying to think.
Poignant, right, he made himself, right?
That's right. And then not just a servant, but a slave. And incredible. That's not a word that we like particularly, and for some good reasons. But he became a slave to God. So, and then he ascended on that ladder of becoming a slave.
Yeah.
It's like he ascended because he descended. And I think it's the same thing. If you want to go up in leadership, go down in servanthood.
Right. The door to destiny is always a low one. Right.
It is, yes. And I've bumped my head on on the post a number of times.
It is such a key in a world that sometimes feels like serving is below us, like it's servile. But that's not what God's asking for. He's not asking for servility, because serving a great person actually adds dignity to yourself. And serving Moses definitely did that for Joshua.
It's interesting, isn't it, in that series that Netflix did on The Crown, that some of the most noble people in that were actually the servants in the Queen's household.
Exactly.
And I've been just quite taken by them. They've lived very quiet lives, but they live lives of nobility and great importance. But they're not seen.
Right.
They want to be seen as a trap for young players.
Right.
And it's the worst of traps.
So once Joshua actually entered the land, I mean, it went well, but not all went well. He made some serious blunders. And so what lessons in your book have you discussed about that?
Well, I just was, casting my eye over some of the script, and I realized that two of the big issues were about prayer. He just didn't pray in a couple of instances. With Ai, he just assumed, well, we had a victory here.
Right.
We're going to have a victory there.
Right.
And that's that idea of guys get, well, if I've done this well here, it's going to work there. Well, it may not. It may be actually your end. So that was one of them. The other one was with the Gibeonites, wasn't it, where they came in disguise. And I've said to you in private, Phil, that I wonder if there wasn't a good cynical friend of Joshua's in that. They said, Joshua, these guys are not what you think, but he's the believing leader. So he just said, no, they're awesome. So,
that's right.
So that caused, even though God redeemed it so that it didn't turn into a total negative, it was still something he bore for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So praying.
They did. If
you go into something with victory as your backdrop, you miss the point.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go back into something with prayer as your backdrop.
Yeah, stop and look up.
Because the way forward may be entirely different.
Totally.
Than the last way.
And the seduction, if you like, for Joshua to be derailed in his thinking was, it's only a small town. It's got no walls. Ai was just 3,000 people, whereas he just defeated Jericho and blown it out of the water. So he thought, oh, what's Ai? It's just a little thing. It'll be easy. But that's seductive thinking. We're being seduced into thinking we don't need God for the next step. But at every step, we need to stop and look up with every venture. And as you say, it's like a faith guy can sometimes get, he's so positive. And I've experienced this. I look at a guy and say, oh, he's going to be amazing. And then I have friends, who might question that, or my wife. And I go, no, it's all right. But then respecting the team that God has given you is respecting the corporate brains that once they're mixed together, we have the mind of Christ. We actually discern what God is thinking about a situation.
Yeah,
so the team thing, like you mentioned there, is super important.
Oh, totally. And it's, team's always going to have someone that's noticed more. But that's not the point of a team. The point of a team is a mission or a job. It's not who's noticed and who's not. I love that scripture. I've often thought of that. I don't have the mind of Christ, Phil.
Mm.
But we have the mind of Christ.
We have, yeah.
And it's the different gifts in fact, the gifts constitute the structure of the church.
Right.
Not education, not longevity. It's the gifts.
Exactly. Well, wishing you all the best with your book, and
Thank you. I'm sure
it's going to be wonderful. Where can people get this book?
It'll be on Amazon.
Right.
And it'll be on, I think, Kindle. And then also you'll be able to print copies off, especially here in the States where everything happens so fast.
Yes. Well, we wish you all the best. And I know it's going to be a very edifying, helpful book for many leaders. God bless you.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.